Hello, and welcome to the Book for the Month podcast, a Shrewsbury High School radio book club for young adults who enjoy reading and talking about books. Our show is a production of Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. Views expressed in this program do not reflect the opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or its volunteer readers. Hi, everyone. We are the Booked for the Month podcast. Today, we have seven of us, so I would like to welcome them all. Please introduce yourselves.
My name is Asmu Joshi.
Hi, my name is Charlotte Siebels.
My name is Marlena Powers.
I'm Lucy.
I'm Nishta.
My name is Tegan Hearson.
And my name is Srigori, your host. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. And if you're one of our regular members, welcome back. Our theme we're discussing today is rom-coms. We all just wanted to start off by talking about some hot takes, either about rom-coms, rom-com authors, all of that. I really wanted to start us off with the whole situation going on with Lauren Roberts and Powerless. There are some speculations that she plagiarized entire scenes of her novel from Red Queen. And now that she's super popular, super famous, a lot of people are debating how far we can pardon her. Obviously, like, her story, her books are all well known and they're well written, but if she completely stole part of the book from another author, people are like, what should we do? Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Personally, I just find it kind of interesting that people took this long to notice, especially since her books are so popular. But if she did actually, like, plagiarize, like, a whole part of a book, that's not your work. That's not something you should be doing. And I think you should get, like, something from that. I don't know.
I mean, because I feel like a lot of people read rom-coms and, like, books like that to feel good. And so if the book accomplished the purpose, that purpose, maybe you'd feel like you can overlook that. But I think just the fact that she's gaining so much success from supposedly someone else's work, I feel like for me that's just, like, I don't know, kind of mind-boggling. Do you guys have any other thoughts on, like, hot takes from books you've read or things going on in the news right now?
My hot take is that a lot of romantasy books are actually very similar. They all happen to have very similar plots.
Do you have any, like, examples of that?
Okay, so if you guys have heard of ACOTAR or Lightlark, I am currently on the second book of Lightlark, and I feel like the plot is just really similar to that of ACOTAR. And to not, like, give any spoilers, I just feel like the main character with the love triangle sort of aspect going on right now in the book is just, it's really similar to that, and I feel like there could have been something different.
Fair. Okay. Does anyone have any thoughts on that? I've not read many of those books, so I can't comment.
So, as a writer who frequently looks into the writing industry, I think a huge part of this is that writers kind of want to recreate the magic of, like, a book that did super well. And also when they're marketing themselves and they want, like, a nice advance, they want to reference a book that blew up, that got an adaptation, to prove to the industry that, yes, I can be successful. There is a need for this. There's a want for this. But then they just end up recreating, not even full plagiarism, but when they just rely too heavily on the same tropes, then readers get tired of it. And I think the issue is more like, it's very money driven, and it's more like, I want to be everywhere, even if it's not my own original ideas. And so I think if it was a little less money driven and people weren't so worried about marketability, we might see more originality. Yeah.
Okay, so sort of like a winning formula, and after people found that, they're just gonna stick on to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Oh, man.
Go ahead. I mean, like, talking about, like, ACOTAR and copyrights, I feel like, so I was reading this book, it's called Quicksilver, and it has very similar themes to ACOTAR, in my opinion, especially when it came to, like, the main female character. So I feel like when it comes to, like, popular books, there's always, like, so many, like, things that are either, like, inspired or, like, flat out copied, like, scenes.
That's fair. And I guess on the topic of like female characters, male characters, FMC, MMC, all of that business, how do you guys feel? Like, do you like books where there's strong female characters? Do you think that like trope is overdone? I feel like, I don't know, I've heard both sides.
Okay, my hot take on that is I think it's definitely overdone, but there is a few people who like do it really well. Can't think of any right now, but Children of Blood and Bone, that book is an amazing example of it.
I'll say this about strong female characters. I feel like since there's so much sexism in our world, it's good to see, you know, women being strong and independent, but I really don't like when they do that. Yeah, I'm not like other girls. I can use a sword and I don't need a man and I don't need the crown prince who's been looking over at me with brooding eyes. Like, okay, you can be independent. You can be strong. Maybe it's a little cringy, whatever. You don't get to disparage our whole gender. That is not how you prove that women are strong. That is how you do the opposite. So I just really don't like the pick me main characters. The others are like not great, but I can deal with it.
I also like the strong female lead kind of character, but I do think it's overdone. And I feel like people are like kind of missing the fact that like there is a power in like gentle femininity and not like, you know, fighting kind of strength all the time. So I'm hoping that more authors will look into that and less of, you know, the warrior type character.
Wait, I love that. And I think just adding on, Abby Jimenez, I think she does a really good job with doing characters that are more like gentle but still strong. I feel like it takes a strong person to say no to get out of a situation that has like gone south for them. I think it would be really cool to see more authors speak on those topics.
I also feel like sometimes like when you're trying to make like a very strong female character, the character comes off as like a person who's like over complaining, which I really don't like, because they're trying to show like that they're independent and they don't need anyone else's help, but like that's not how life works, and you can be dependent and stuff.
Fair. Okay,
another problem, I love female main character, like really strong female main characters, but one problem that can happen a lot is that an author can make them so strong in the beginning, and then when they finally fall in love with the MMC, they completely change and there are no signs of the original character, and we're all like, where did that girl go? And they're like, I'm a different person now, and I understand that, but there is still some part of you that is similar to that, but where is that some part of you? Okay, so a trope I wasn't aware of, but I recently discovered on Book Talk, is that like at the end of the series, if it's like fantasy, the main female character will lose her powers. And it's almost like, I don't know why, but I've seen a lot of that lately. And I feel like I'm not a huge fan of it, especially if, you know, it's like, well, I don't need them anymore because, you know, I have my husband. And it's like, no, you can retain your power and be in a relationship and feel loved. I feel like there just needs to be more balance with that.
I've never heard of that, but that is actually crazy. Okay. And then I guess on the flip side, when we're thinking about the MMC, the male characters, are there any tropes that you guys are just like, nope, if you see this, I'm out?
Step siblings.
Oh my God.
That shouldn't exist. Student teacher.
That's always bad, dude.
Okay. Well, it's not as bad as you guys, but I feel like on Book Talk, everyone just likes tan, dark-haired men. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but why is it always that specific trope?
Okay, and why do they never have, like, emotions? Why are they, okay, and the bullying trope, where he's just mean to her the entire time, and he has, like, no feelings, and he never shows vulnerability. Like, I personally don't really find that attractive, someone who can never kind of be honest and be vulnerable, because that is the foundation for a good relationship. And I feel like that's why sometimes when you read all these romance books, there's not chemistry, because the male love interest isn't actually opening up to like forge a connection. He's just kind of brooding. And I'm like, you can't build a whole relationship off of brooding. I'm sorry.
It's like Stockholm syndrome, because... Yes. Why are you falling in love with someone who's like literally the worst person you've ever met?
Wait, I have so much to say on that. I feel like also like all these books are perpetuating like emotionally unavailable main characters. MMCs, and then that's what people are looking for in real life. And I don't know, I just feel like Stockholm Syndrome, I know people use that a lot in like Beauty and the Beast and stuff. I think there's definitely other better examples, but I think the main thing is that, in my opinion, like with Stockholm Syndrome, if people like, I guess, have a transformation from like how they were in the beginning. For example, in Beauty and the Beast was emotionally unavailable in the beginning, but he opens up at the end. There's like redemption. I feel like I want to see more stories like that, because I agree. Like the whole like brooding, no looking, eyes darkening. Like, I don't know. Not for me.
Also, kind of further on that, have you ever read like a dual point of view romance? And it's the woman and it's the man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman will be like, oh my gosh, I want to see, you know, all his scars, all his vulnerability, and I like the way he laughs, and I like the way whatever. Mm-hmm. And the guy is just like describing her body and her attractiveness, and like, it's, there's no chemistry there. It's like, I hate when they do that, when it just seems like they're attracted to them, but they don't actually get into like their heart, their soul, what they're really like. Mm-hmm. They're just, it's just like physical chemistry. I can't, that's not really the romance that I like seeing.
I mean, at the risk of claiming angst, I know in like Wuthering Heights they try to go more into the emotional part, saying like whatever his soul is made of, ours are the same. I feel like even if it seems more angsty to go in that territory, I would like to see more of that compared to what you said, like the superficial, you look good, I do too, let's be together.
Oh my, yeah. God. Okay, so this is kind of like, I don't know why, but sometimes when I'm reading books, I feel like there's like this like cute emotional scene, and then like the male says like some physical chemistry kind of comment, and that just shuts down everything. I cannot handle that.
Another trope that I feel like I've seen so much of is brother's best friend. Like, okay, but it gets to a point where it's just everywhere, and like, okay, we get it. It's enough.
Dare I say, summer I turned pretty. I'm just saying. Okay, you guys. Well, I think honestly now is a good time to maybe talk about books that we do like, you know, give you guys some good recommendations if you're looking for a nice comforting rom-com. I can definitely start off. Well, I think that there are problems with execution in some parts of this book. I do recommend Lynn Painter. Wait, which one is it? The first one, Better Than the Movies. The second one is like half and half. I can't do it. But the first one, I feel like the concept of it and like all the references, I don't know. I feel like it's a feel-good high school romance.
I agree, but I also agree like the execution was not great. But I read The Spanish Love Deception by Elena Armas.
Yeah, Elena D. Armas, I think.
And that is my favorite romance book of all time, okay? So, it's so sweet. They have really good moments, and it's not just, like, awkward conversations. It's kind of, like, enemies to lovers, but it's not, like that. And it's, like, workplace, like, frenemies, sort of.
Yeah. Really good book.
Okay, so, my recommendation, it's not truly a romance novel. It is a tragic. It ends bad.
Okay, so it warning.
So it's based off of The Queen of Hearts, and it's like her backstory. How did she end up here? It's called Heartless by Marissa Myers. It is such a good book, though. There are such good moments between the queen when she started off as like a baker in the village, and she fell in love with the king's jester, and she was supposed to get married to the king. So,
wow.
It was so good, and it was so sad, but you should still read it because it's so good. So, I think I've mentioned this book before on here, but the book I chose to talk about for this episode is Drizzles, Dreams, and Lovestruck Things by Maya Prasad, and it's so cute. It's very wholesome. It's very light. There are some, you know, kind of sad parts of it, but overall it's a very kind of light, cute, wholesome book. And what I love about it is that it goes through four different sisters in four different seasons, and they're kind of on this island off of Washington. And so like the imagery is just beautiful. Like there's so much gorgeous descriptive scenery, and I love that part of it. And I also love that the sisters all kind of have a different personality. Like Sometimes I don't love reading books where it's like every point of view feels the same, but the sisters, like, you can tell they have different voices, different thought processes, they're dealing with different things, and one of them is a lesbian love story, which I really like, and it's just really cute and feel good. It's a nice little break from, like, heavy stuff, so, yeah.
Yes.
So the book that I chose to talk about was Pride and Prejudice, which we just read for AP Lit. It was really amazing. I think it's a really good example of, like, a strong female lead without being, like, overdone. One thing I didn't like about it, though, was that I wasn't a big fan of Jane and Bingley's relationship, because it felt a little bit, like, I don't know, too idyllic, maybe. Maybe unrealistic, but yeah, it's definitely a good read.
Fair. I feel like it's like golden, both of them are golden retrievers, and it's like,
yeah,
too wholesome almost. Yeah. No tension.
So I actually just read the Summer at Tempranillo books. I watched the TV show this past summer, but I got the book series for Christmas, so I was reading through those. And I just wanted to talk about one of my favorite parts in the book series that's only in the books and not in the TV show. At the very end of the third book, the author Jenny Han includes letters that Conrad writes to Belly, and I think it's really sweet how it doesn't really specifically go through how things came together like it does in the TV show, and it left it very open-ended and up to interpretation, but I thought it was really sweet how it included a lot of personal references to show how well they know each other rather than just things on the surface level. So that was definitely one of my favorite parts of that series.
So for my book, I picked The Dead Romantics by Ashley Poston. Basically, the book's about this girl named Florence Day, and so she's like a ghostwriter for, this author, and she gets this new boss named Benji something, I forget. But basically, the thing about her is she can see ghosts, like, in real life and talk to them, and usually ghosts have, like, this one goal that they have, and after they complete it, they, like, disappear and they're, like, done with the world. But anyways, she sees her boss, and then, like, the next day, she finds him as a ghost, and then she's working with him to, like, just finish her story that she's ghostwriting, and then he comes back alive and they're like just happy and stuff. It was pretty chill because I wanted to read something that wasn't serious, like in my English class. But yeah,
I love that. Yeah, I feel like for me, when I'm looking for rom-coms, I try to find unserious, silly, lighthearted type books. Today I wanted to talk about, this is actually a Pride and Prejudice retelling, sort of. It's called A Taste for Love. It's by Jennifer Yen. The food imagery in this book is top tier, next level. Okay, so the main character, her name's Liza Yang. Her mother, her parents own this bakery, and it's called the Yin Yang Bakery. And it's so fun. The whole plot is that her mom's hosting her, like, annual baking competition for high school students, and the winner gets this, like, big scholarship. And so, essentially, Liza is appointed as one of the judges, and the plot twist, I guess, is that all the contestants are, like, guys her age, and her mom set up this competition as sort of, like, a matchmaking scheme for her. And so, I don't know, I just feel like this book, there's a lot of banter, a lot of fun. There are aspects as well. Her older sisters mentioned this book. As I said, this is, like, a Pride and Prejudice retelling, so there is Liza is, like, Elizabeth, her older sister is, like, Jane, and then we have equivalents of all the other characters, Bingley, Darcy, Wickham. I just thought that it was, I think it really did a good job of, like, taking a classic and making it more modern and, like, what would happen today. And yeah, I think that one thing I really love about rom-coms, or I guess the ones that do this, is when there's a resolution that's, like, realistic and wholesome. I don't necessarily want the ending that's, like, sugary, like, they all lived happily ever after, because that's not the reality for most people. But even having an ending where it's like, okay, they still have problems, but they're gonna work it out, they're gonna try, they're gonna show up for each other, I feel like, to me, that's the greatest ending I could ask for. Do you guys have any, like, authors that you find yourself, like, reaching for when you're looking at rom-coms? Because I know some authors, like, have so many good books.
Julie Murphy. I love her books so much. Like, especially her book, If the Shoe Fits. It's like part of a series called the Meant to Be series. But she writes other books. Like, she wrote Dumplin', and like the Meant to Be series isn't like her series. It's like a series of books written by different authors. But she is one of my favorite. It's not necessarily rom-com, but it's like, this book is, If the Shoe Fits, is rom-com. And then her other books are also like really good as well.
I don't know if like I'm the only one that did this, but when I was younger, and still like today even, sometimes I like read through specific books of Nancy Drew where like Ned and all the other characters I mentioned. I don't know. I always thought like growing up that that was such a cute rom-com. Like, I feel like Nancy and Ned really supported each other. And even though this book was like written in the 1960s, Nancy is such a great example of like a female character that knows how to stand her ground and ask for help. So I feel like, I don't know. I always thought that like that mutual respect between them was really admirable. All right. One thing I think some people mentioned, but I kind of want to talk about, what are everyone's feelings about book talk, and about especially the fixation of like romance rom-com books? Like, do you like the books that are being recommended? Do you not? What are your thoughts?
I don't particularly like, I feel that book talk is, I'm sort of on book talk, and it's mainly just like dark romance I've seen. I don't really read dark romance. Like, I read a few specific books, but it's not really like my style, and I would like to see more like sweet romances.
Book talk is right, social media, and in social media you kind of, I get why there's dark romance, because you want the more extreme, you want to pull people in, you want them to be like, wait, there's no way he just did that. And once again, it does kind of come down to marketability. I feel like right now it's a lot of like the hashtags and the tropes, and I feel like when you start getting more into like tropes and kind of recycling the same things that you think will show up on people's For You page and you think will hook them instead of things that actually have substance, I feel like sometimes you run into problems there. So what I do like about book talk, though, is I feel like it has kind of brought back reading for a generation that is glued to our phones. I know I definitely am. And I feel like it also kind of encouraged the buying of physical books more. So there are definitely, and you know, it makes it easier to find indie authors. So there are some good things about it, but the actual books they're recommending, sometimes I feel like it's all about marketability. So it's hard to get pushed out there without just recycling tropes.
One of my big problems is that they always market the same book. It is always the same few books. And I've read those books already. I need something else to read. I'm not going to reread the same book 500 times. I want something new, and they're not giving me something new, which is my biggest problem. I love all the edits, but please give me a recommendation that I have not read yet.
That's so fair. How do you guys like find rom-coms to read? Are you like a scrolling on whatever your online library, you find a book, you look at the cover, great, or do you need like recommendations from people? Do you like listen to reviews online?
I scroll through my online library so much. I like create folders and stuff for me to read later. I don't really like look at books online too much. Like my online library, but it's like an app.
Personally, what I do is I scroll through Goodreads and I search up like exactly what I'm looking for. And then I just scroll through the entire thing until I find something that looks interesting and has an interesting blurb. And I check all the tropes and make sure it's something I'll actually want to read. And then I'll read it. And that's how I find books.
Love it. I think I am guilty of sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I like reading books just like randomly. Like, I see a book, I see the title, I'm like, wow, this sounds crazy. And then I go into it. There's not much ceremony. I think some people, like, as we've discussed, have better, more, like, meticulous ways of looking. But, yeah, I think anything works for me.
I feel like a lot of people don't do this anymore, but I love just going to Barnes & Noble. I love looking around at the different sections and reading the little plot descriptions and the inside flaps to see some new books that I haven't read before. I think that's fun.
I kind of agree with Charlotte. I like going to the library and just, like, browsing through all of the books. The other day, I had an idea for a title for a story, so I looked it up to make sure that it didn't already exist, and it did,
Well, the book looked really good, so I ended up ordering it. So, that's how I found my latest read.
Wow. No words. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess something not related to anything we've talked about, but something that I'm really curious to know. I know that we talked a lot about how a lot of books have like the same plot, more or less, change some names, change the setting. But I was wondering, like, do you guys have a favorite trope or like something that, yeah, it's expected and whatever, but if an author executes it well, you'll be there for it all day, every day. I think for me, one of my like favorite tropes, I guess, maybe, if it's done well, I like second chance in the sense where the characters have growth. I like to see how like we see the then versus now and like what's changed for the characters, how they're trying to like be better for each other. I think that's the main thing. Like again, these characters are real. They know there's going to be problems, but they're committed to showing up. I think for me, that just like seals the deal.
For me personally, enemies to lovers, but like a good one, not like a, like an out of proportionate, like they're like fighting each other. But, like, if it's, like, a sweet enemies to lovers and, like, the male lead was kind of, like, obsessed with her the whole time.
I like Chaotic Sunshine and Grumpy because that is just the cutest thing for me.
Do you have any examples of that?
Not any that I can think of off the top of my head. But it is the cutest thing to me.
Fair enough.
Me personally, I just love it when like the female, like a protagonist, feels like she always has to be strong. And then there's just like a guy who's like, you don't have to be strong anymore. I don't know. It's kind of like, I don't know if that's like basic or like if there's a real name for it. But I just love when she can like finally relax when she's with him.
I feel like I'd call it almost like eldest daughter trope in the sense of like, you know, older daughters generally feel like they have to take responsibility, and then like if they find someone that they're able to share that with, always great.
I'm a big fan of like the best friends to lovers trope because I feel like those are always like the healthiest relationships.
So facts, relationships are built on friendships, the good ones at least. All right, you guys, do you have any like ending things you want to talk about, any like pressing thoughts about romance that you want to tell our listeners today?
I feel like romance can sometimes be dismissed as a genre, like, oh, you read romance, that's not like really reading, or like, oh, I bet it's trashy. But I think part of it is that romance is a really cool genre because it's usually written by women, for women, and I feel like it's a really cool space for us. So just, if you like reading romance or whatever you like reading, don't let anyone tell you it's not real reading. It is.
Yes. Embrace it and don't be ashamed. I think that's one of our big mottos of Book Club. Like, we support everyone. Read what you want to read. Any book you read will only make you smarter, more intelligent. So, like, yeah, you're already doing yourself a favor by reading whatever it is you choose to read. All right, then. I think that's all we have for you guys today. The Book for the Month podcast has been a production of Audio Journal. Our program has been archived and can be easily accessed by visiting the Audio Journal website, www.audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or Android. Thank you for listening, and if you have any suggestions for our book club, please let us know by sending a message to info@audiojournal.org. Happy reading, everyone! Join us next month on Audio Journal.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.